from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hey there, I'm Bill DeYoung, and this is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. David Manson is distinguished faculty at St. Petersburg College, where he has taught music for more than 30 years. He's also the founder of EMIT, which produces concerts and workshops, musically speaking, all around the area. He's the founder and director of the St. Petersburg Jazz Festival, which starts this coming Monday. It is the 15th annual such festival. He's also the guest on today's podcast. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Let's talk about the Jazz Festival first and foremost. 15 years, does that feel like a, you know, that's a big bass in the boat. That's an accomplishment.
It's amazing. We've had it going 15 years through the support of our community, and so we're happy to do it again.
One of the things that you've always said about the Jazz Festival is it's really about exposing people to interesting music, as opposed to, we don't do headliners, we don't do like big names that cost a bunch of money and they're going to play, you know, quote unquote, the hits. Tell me how you program this and why.
We don't do safe, because if you're trying to present something and you're thinking about what kind of numbers can I draw, what kind of artists will bring in the most people, it doesn't work. So I'm listening, I'm curating, I'm finding talent that is different, that's unusual. I really don't want to hear the same 20 jazz standards played over and over again, which
sure.
is a real problem with jazz festivals and jazz organizations, to be honest. So mm-hmm. we emphasize Latin jazz, people that are writing their own music, composing, jazz musicians, and, you know, big forces like the St. Petersburg, the Helios Jazz Orchestra, which is an 18-member group. So that's
Helios, you're part. You founded Helios, right? I mean, you play trombone in the band.
Well, I don't actually. I conduct it.
You don't play in the band.
No.
We learn something every day.
I have to stand in front of them and try to tame them. No, it's a wild beast of an animal. No, it's a great group with some of the finest jazz musicians in the area. And it happened by mistake, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
I just asked for an evening jazz band, not expecting it to be good. And then I had the best players in town walk in, and they wanted to play in it. So, you know, they want that sound. It's a unique animal, a jazz big band.
How does it pay for itself? I mean, Helios doesn't gig every week. I mean, 18 pieces, that's a lot of paychecks.
Well, the musicians donate a lot of their time and
that's
service,
beautiful.
Which
yeah.
is wonderful. I respect them greatly for that. And then EMIT functions as a nonprofit organization. We seek out funding, we give concerts, and we do well. In fact, I'm sad to say that our concert that's coming up next Tuesday is sold out.
The Alexis Cole concert.
Right, with Alexis, an amazing musician.
She's been here before.
Yes.
And, she's doing a workshop on Monday, which is, I guess, technically the first day of the festival. Tell me about Alexis. It's sold out, but so people have tickets. Talk to me about Alexis and why she represents what you want to bring here.
She's just an exciting force. She is a fantastic performer and teacher. And she will be doing a free vocal jazz workshop on Monday at 12:30 at St. Petersburg College in HS 109.
So mm-hmm.
she has an authentic voice. She enunciates. She has a fantastic range. She's a great musician, plays the piano very well and sings. And her students include Samara Joy, who has 3 Grammys to her name right now.
Fantastic. So that show is in the side door Tuesday, but it's sold out. That's Alexis singing with Helios.
Yes.
Does she send you arrangements? Here's what I'd like to do. Or do you say, hey, Alexis, here's what we're going to do?
A little of both. Now, she has her own arrangements that she has commissioned people to write.
Sure.
So we're doing quite a few of those. And then 1 or 2 stock arrangements.
You can always find all the information you need at stpetejazzfest.com, including information about the sold-out show at Alexis Cole and Helios Jazz Orchestra. The workshop she's doing in HS 109, that's on the 66th Street and 5th Avenue campus.
That's right, the Gibbs campus.
Yeah, of SPC. Now, is that the sort of, how many people can fit in that, and how many do you expect? I'll go and learn how to sing jazz, right?
I think you should. It would be wonderful. She's wonderful for projection, enunciation, you know, and just finding tone. I think we can probably have 75 people there easily. It's a large ensemble room.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I expect we'll have about 40 people.
Maybe. That's fantastic. How do you fit 18 pieces and a singer on the stage in the side door?
Side door. It's a tight squeeze.
Yeah.
But the production manager there, Damon Daughtry, he manages it. We fit in there. It's very intimate. And then if you're sitting there, you're, you know, within 10 or 15 feet of this roaring big band is quite a sound.
Oh, that's amazing. For me, it's always been classical musicians. You know, you can talk about it. You can dance about it. You can write about it. But until you're in the room with it, you don't really understand how it gets into your, you know, your body cavity and vibrates around there. That's incredible. Again, you conduct. You don't.
I just conduct and I arrange for that group.
Yeah. And so you have done arrangements that aren't the ones that she came with.
Yes.
Is she in town already?
She is here. She spends her time here. She bought a place in St. Pete. She loves St. Pete so much.
Oh, yeah.
And she often credits St. Pete Jazz Festival for that. She's been down. This will be her third visit with us. She loves it, so she bought a house here, and she lives in New York, and she commutes. She's all over the world. She was in Taipei recording a few months ago.
Mauricio Rodriguez is a bass player and also an incredible jazz musician. He lives around here too, doesn't he?
Yes, Mauricio lives in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
So we depend heavily on regional artists because this is Florida. Everyone wants to live here. We have great jazz artists here. So we'll feature people from New York or L.A. or Chicago mm-hmm. if they're touring and we can afford them. But we have plenty of great artists here in Florida, and so we tend to feature them.
Do you feel like somebody like – well, Mauricio Rodriguez and the MJR Latin Project, I'm assuming that stands for Mauricio J. Rodriguez.
That's true.
The Latin Project are at the Side Door on Wednesday, April 3rd.
Yes.
Does this kind of exposure help people like that, you know, get more gigs, get more exposure? Hey, we saw you played at St. Petersburg, and you're back there. You must be pretty good.
I think so. I think it helps. And sometimes, like the last time we had Mauricio in, he came with a guest artist. And so he can augment his group knowing that he'll have an audience here. So he's a wonderful person and a fantastic musician, and he'll be joined by Zachary Boenheimer, who worked with a Grammy project recently.
He's a sax player.
He's a fantastic player.
Yeah.
And Pablo Arencibia.
Oh, sure. Pablo's from Tampa. Right.
Yes. Uh-huh. And originally from Spain.
Great piano player.
And then Andy Forner, originally from Cuba, as is Mauricio. So they're very authentic. They have the Latin groove down. And it'll be a wonderful concert of originals plus some standards.
And again, that's at the Palladium Side Door on Wednesday,
right.
April the 3rd. Moving on now, Marcus Gotchlich, did you have something you wanted to say? Did I?
No.
Okay.
No.
Didn't know if you were clearing your throat or throw something at me, you know. We had Marcus Gotchlich in here last week, and Marcus was talking about many things, obviously his day job. But also about the fact that he and his trio are playing Thursday. This is April 4th, Thursday, at the Music Center at St. Pete College. Now, he and I were talking, and you and I have talked about this room at SPC, which is kind of an amazing performance venue.
It's a 300-seat, acoustically perfect venue with two Steinway grands, a giant pipe organ that cost about $350,000, made in Europe and assembled here. It's a wonderful venue. I just want people to know about it because it's a little off the beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is get on Fifth Avenue North and go west, and you'll find it.
Now, again, that's the Gibbs campus.
Right, the Gibbs campus.
Yeah, yeah. Marcus, of course, a lot of people know him as the director of the Warehouse Arts District Association, but is a composer and a pianist of some renown.
Yes. He's a fantastic, classically trained pianist who plays jazz. He composes his own music. This concert will be his compositions. They have a real global spin to them. And he's working with some great musicians. Michael Washington, who lives in Tampa, fantastic drummer. And then Noam Tanzer, who is in New York, an Israeli double bassist who lives in New York. So they're going to play his music, and that will be at the College Music Center.
Thursday, April 4th.
April 4th. And earlier that day, we have another free workshop that's 12:30 on April 4th. Mm-hmm. That's with Brazilian percussionist.
Oh, with Rafael Pereira. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, Rafael is, he's a multi-instrumentalist. He plays a drum kit and all the percussion instruments. He toured with Janelle Monáe. He's played with Bruno Mars. He's played with Prince. He is a fantastic musician, and he's featured on our most recent CD, Aberto, by O Som de Jazz, my Brazilian group.
Which we're going to talk about momentarily as we move down here, because O Som de Jazz, new record is called Alberto.
Alberto.
I almost called it Alberto. We could, you know, the English pronunciation is Albert, you know. Alberto. O Som de Jazz is, as you say, your Brazilian group, and you have an April 5th show at the Warehouse Arts District. You're on the outdoor stage there.
Right.
And Rafael is guesting with you. Tell me about this.
Sure. That's a free concert. So if you're out and about on Friday, April 5th, head over to the Warehouse Arts District. We're on the outdoor stage, and we'll have not only Rafael Pereira, percussionist, but also Jose Valentino Ruiz, who is another regional artist, a Tampa native, and he's a fantastic artist. He's going to play flute and saxophone on this concert. He's an Emmy Award winner, a multi-Latin Grammy Award winner. He'll be joining us. He's also on our CD. So that's a free concert starting at 7:30 at the Warehouse Arts District on Friday, April 5th.
April the 5th. And I'm looking that Alejandro Arenas is in that group. Who's just a tremendous bass player, and Mark Feinman, both of those guys from La Lucha, of course. Tell me about Brazilian music and how that got into your bloodstream.
All musicians who study jazz are familiar with Tom Jobim's work and mm-hmm. those great standards, but really I was exposed more by my wife, who is Brazilian. She's mm-hmm. from Rio de Janeiro, and she sings in our group, Andrea. And so she shared with me some music that she grew up with, a lot of bossa nova and samba,
yeah,
and really went deep into the music the Brazilians listen to rather than the Americanized Sergio Mendes, Stan Getz kind
yeah.
of thing, you know, which is wonderful music.
Yeah. O Som de Jazz, you have 4 records out now.
Yes.
Aberto is the new one. Is it out yet?
That is out. We released it about a month ago.
And so you have, is it all original?
7 of the 8 tracks. We end the CD with a piece by Tom Jobim.
Oh, yeah. Foia Noite. Is that how you say that?
Foia Noite. Uh-huh.
Oh, Noite. Okay. Well, you can tell I grew up in, I don't know, Florida. You write this material now.
Yes.
I mean, you just said that. So what kind of a learning curve was that for you? I mean, did you have to go by Andrea and say, look, is this lame? Or is this the way it's supposed to sound, you know?
I think it was part of the process. You know, just, I've been composing for over 20 years now and kind of
yeah.
shifted into the Brazilian realm, kind of fusing jazz with some of the Brazilian styles, including the Northeastern styles, the baião, the forró, some of the more rhythmic music that comes originally from Africa into Brazil. Beautiful music.
You never stop learning, do you?
It's endless. Music is that way. It's just...
It's one of the beautiful things around it. Well, let's recap there that O Som de Jazz with Rafael Pereira and Jose Valentino Ruiz. That's Friday, April 5th, 7:30?
Yes.
At the outdoor stage of the Warehouse Arts District.
And it's free.
And it's free. And that's an amazing lineup of people. There is one more show, Saturday, April 6th, and this is at the Museum of the American Arts and Crafts Movement. You've had, I want to say maybe Helios, in that venue before. You've played in the American Arts and Crafts Movement.
We did one of our Latin jazz concerts there
uh-huh.
with the Latin Nights and O Som de Jazz. And then we also had Hot Club, SRQ, mm-hmm. a couple years ago. And so I wanted to bring them back. They're a fantastic group.
I'm looking at this. I mean, they're doing Grappelli and Reinhardt. They're doing this incredible hot jazz stuff.
Very authentically. I mean, the leader of the group is one of the finest jazz violinists that I've ever heard in my life. That's Ken Ayland.
That's saying something. Where are these guys from?
They're in the Sarasota area. And then the valve trombonist is Francois de Lima. We've performed with him with O Som de Jazz. Mm-hmm. He spends half his year in Florida and the other half in Brazil, where he tours with the biggest names like Milton Nascimento and Javan. So he's a major artist, and he'll be on that concert along with you know, our wonderful Glenn Stevenson on bass and John McLaughlin on guitar.
Is it John McLaughlin? Okay, not that John
McLaughlin. Not that one.
So, I mean, well, that must be a nice experience, though, when somebody from, well, let's say out of town, somebody, you know, a professional musician from New York or New Orleans or wherever, right, comes in and you start, you know, playing together and you click. That must be a nice moment where, yeah, this works because we're all on the same wavelength here.
Yes.
And I suppose it doesn't happen every time.
It's a communication process, mm-hmm, and really fine players, they elevate everyone's playing. You know, if you want to get better, as they say, play with musicians that are better than you. And it's a truism.
Let's talk about, I do want to touch on music education, which is obviously very important to you. And you've been, what is it, 32 years now with SPC?
I think so, yes.
What do you get out of it? Here's the question.
Well, you know, I truly like the students I work with. I never complain about my students, or very rarely. It's very rarely. And, you know, they're young, they have energy, and they want to learn. So I'm teaching, you know, all kinds of courses there. So from technical courses like Pro Tools to private lessons on trombone, working with ensembles, teaching world music. And you know, seeing that flame with young people that like music and seeing them develop is very encouraging.
So you see like little David Manson's in there. This guy could be, you see the flame, and let me throw some lighter fluid on this for you.
Yes. I hope not.
Well.
No, I do.
It's all figurative, you know.
No. No, I just, it's wonderful to see people that are excited. And, you know, to be honest, and we talk about this a lot, not everyone is going to choose a path of being a professional musician, nor mm-hmm should they in this
yeah
era. But, as you know, if you have a passion for it, you can carry it through life.
Let me reverse course on you there a little bit, because you transitioned from being a full-time professional musician to academia and also being a professional full-time musician, which means you're nuts most of the time. But why does a musician, you know, transition into teaching? Is it just what you were talking about? I like to see that flame in young people.
That's part of it. And to be honest, there's a certain amount of security that you may not find as a professional musician, and that's attractive.
Sure.
It's attractive that
understandable.
I work with great colleagues. I have these fantastic facilities, you know, at St. Petersburg College. It's technically a community college, but the facilities we have are unparalleled in the state university system. We have two working recording studios at St. Pete College, and, of course, the concert hall that we mentioned, the Music Center. So it's a wonderful place for me as a teacher and as a musician to work.
Briefly before we go, I wanted to talk about the fact that you weren't born in Florida, but you grew up in Florida, and you told me a story once about how your parents worked at NASA, like during the Apollo program. Can you kind of recap them? Because it's so fascinating to me.
That was, you know, at the time I didn't think anything of it, but it was a situation. My father worked, he drove liquid oxygen and liquid hydrogen tankers. Let's talk about one of the most dangerous jobs on the planet.
Oh, man.
So they, you know, he would be the guy that was pulling up the truck to fuel the rockets. And my mother worked in the vertical assembly building for a while as a secretary. They actually have secretarial offices in there in addition to rockets sometimes.
And this was the most normal thing in the world to you as a kid. That's what my mom and dad do.
Yeah, just normal. We used to, when the rockets in the early days, they'd send them up, we'd walk out into the front yard and we would see the orange flame, then the ground would shake, and then you would hear the rumble in that sequence. And in the early days with the unmanned flights in particular, sometimes the gyros wouldn't work correctly and they would start to twist and spin and they'd blow them up.
I've seen that footage. Yeah, unbelievable. Eventually you moved to, what was it, Dunedin?
Dunedin, yes. Grew up in Dunedin.
Yeah.
And played in the bands there.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it. I liked Dunedin very much.
You went off to, didn't you go to teach somewhere at some point and then come back?
I went to Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music, and then I went down and played with the Memphis Symphony for a year.
Yeah.
And then came back to Florida and, you know, wanted to be near my family.
You also told me when we spoke before about how St. Petersburg's music community was vibrant long before the city was revived. I think that's a safe way to put it, that there was a whole experimental music community here.
Really, in the 90s,
yeah.
Really, we had a lot of nice galleries. Most of them are not here now, but they were very friendly and would allow us to host new music concerts. We did about 45 concerts at the older Salvador Dali Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Through the assistance of Peter Tosh,
mm-hmm.
who's still there as curator of education, I believe.
Yeah.
And we had this pipeline of fantastic artists from New York, from Chicago, international artists, that would basically, this is in the early days of email, they would say, hey, Florida, we're coming down. Do you have any concerts for us?
Oh, yeah, got anything, yeah.
Right. And so we would block book with Orlando and Miami and mm-hmm. present really world-class artists, those New York downtown scene artists that would come in, European free improvisation artists. And so
Could you do that today in St. Petersburg?
We have on occasion. We had Jaap Blanke in last year, mm-hmm. who is a Dutch artist who came in and did his version of the Ursonate by Kurt Schwitters, which is the first Dadaist kind of tone poem. And we did that at the Warehouse Arts District and had a good audience for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what amazes me is in that period, you're telling me that the community came out. They thought, this is cool.
Yes.
You know, that's why I was asking about could you do that today, because it has changed a lot.
There's a lot of competition now for entertainment.
Yeah.
And then this distinction between entertainment and arts is always one that we carefully ride, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a great scene back then developing in this area. A lot of wonderful visual artists, of course, who are still part of our community. I think, you know, they kind of laid the foundation for the revitalization of St. Pete to a certain extent.
Well, we're happy that the St. Petersburg Jazz Festival continues and continues to thrive. It is April 1st through 6th. There it is. I'm looking at it. StPeteJazzFest.com. Shows are free, shows have tickets, but there's some great stuff here. Alexis Cole is sold out on Tuesday, but you know what? Go and see her. Go and learn how to sing on Monday. David Manson, it's always a pleasure to speak to you, my friend.
Thank you, Bill. It's been a pleasure as well.
And all the best here this week on the festival.
Thank you.
From StPeteCatalyst.com.